Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
You've had me on the show talking about how TikTok is not on my like list, and nobody should be using TikTok. It's Chinese owned. It can not only be used for surveillance and espionage, but also for potential sabotage and war planning. And how many individuals use TikTok every day?
What?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
At 8:14 on this Monday morning, 43 minutes of some of the worst things you can imagine human beings doing to other human beings. That is the length of a documentary. It was assembled by Israeli Defense Forces, a compilation of video from Hamas sources, from Israeli security cameras, video of murder, rape, torture that occurred a year ago on this day, October 7th, 2023, in Israel. This documentary was recently brought to and shared in Milwaukee via the Consulate of Israel to the Midwest. Two men in studio with me this morning are friends. I've worked with them, traveled with them, covered them in the March for Israel in Washington last fall, and they watched this horrifying film and are here on this solemn day to recount what they saw, why they saw it, and where we are now with the Middle East on the brink of all-out war. Moshe Katz and Mark Shapiro, good morning to both of you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Mark, let me start with you, because as president and CEO of the Jewish Community Center, you must be aware of various events and observances. Are there things going on today that you expect people will have the opportunity to attend?
Yeah, there's going to be things happening all day. They've already started with the actual time of the massacre beginning at the Nova Music Festival, already having come and gone. Within our community, all of the Jewish organizations have partnered together, and there'll be a commemoration happening at the JCC in Whitefish Bay. Doors are opening at 6. There's interactive exhibits. There'll be a commemoration event at 7 o'clock. Registration has been tremendous, to the point where I think it may have even already been cut off. It may need to be a check-in today at the Milwaukee Jewish Federation's website or the JCC's website and put your name down. Good. Security will be really tight, but a chance for people to come together, as you said, in many ways to bear witness to what's happened.
On that point, Moshe, let me bring you in. You saw the documentary.
I did.
Take me through, first of all, your process in, because I shared with folks who listened to the show earlier that I was also invited as someone with this platform to view the documentary. Mark and I talked it through, and I shared with Mark, I don't think I can bear that weight. And so that's the decision that I made, but more on what you all saw. So take me through the process of deciding that you wanted to see that.
There is a level of this that is sheerly irrational to go see it, right? There's no real logic, rational reason to say, I need to see this. I want to see this. But there is a side in me that kind of won over that said, you need to bear witness. Mark just used that phrase, and I think it's a very powerful one. Many of the images were already familiar because we had seen them over the past time. I have been to Israel 5 times since October 7th. I'm leaving again at the end of the month. So some of these images are very clear. But there were additional pieces that even clarified images more. I had been to a famous bus stop that has one of these cement block things at it that's supposed to be a security space for you to go into if bombs start flying. And instead it became a tomb for a bunch of people that kind of gathered in there. I had been to that space and I saw it. I saw the remnants on the wall. I saw the bullet holes. I saw the bomb shrapnel. But seeing with the people inside of it and then seeing the actual grenade go inside and blow people up was one of those things that was jarring. That's the bearing witness. It's one thing to see the results. It's another thing to actually see it and putting 1 + 1 and not equaling 2. It's equaling horror. It's equaling something that I'd never imagined. As you said, we're not supposed to see this. It was beyond anything I could fathom.
Mark, what are your reflections having been there also in community with a number of other people who watch this film.
Yeah, the honor was to have people come who maybe haven't been exposed as much to it. For me, there was this reality of that much, if not almost all of, at least 50% of this was video that had been filmed by Hamas. Remember, we keep having this conversation about Palestine or Gaza and Israel. There's a triangulation we're forgetting, which is that Hamas is a terrorist organization separate from the two parties that always seem to take over the conversation. We get lost in that. They were so proud of what they had done. They filmed it, they celebrated it, and they posted it. The seeing of that, because it was all taken down so quickly, it wasn't allowed to be viewed. And the thought that Israel has never, ever shown any of this in the past. They have always said, we're not going to empower the terrorists by showing their work. And that was where my, you know, there was no one was speaking when this was over. And it wasn't that people had nothing to say. It was that you had 8,000 things to say and they collided because it was irrational, illogical, overwhelming. And it wasn't the graphic nature that overwhelmed me. I'll be honest. I think I maybe saw about 60% of the film. My eyes were down. My brain doesn't need to finish off that image. It just doesn't need it.
Do more people need to see this film?
If people don't seem to, it's amazing how much we've just forgotten. There was a peace plan in place. There was a ceasefire. Everyone keeps talking about there being a need for a ceasefire. There was one. It was on October 6th. It was on October 7th before the sun came up. There was a ceasefire. So if there's been a loss as to a reminder of the fact that this, what happened on October 7th wasn't war, it was terrorism. They're not prisoners of war. They're hostages. They didn't die. They were murdered. The word choices that have been put out have assuaged people's feelings about it. So the movie perhaps brings to, it's not publicly available. That's the other thing, is it's not something you can just decide you're going to go find.
Moshe, you mentioned frequently that you've been in Israel. I wonder, what are your connections to or conversations with folks there who still have hostages that are being held, that have wondered for 365 days what their loved ones are enduring and whether their loved ones will be home?
It's such a powerful question, because some of the people I met on that first trip back, I was there less than three weeks after October 7th, and I met several families who were impacted by this. I met a wife of a woman whose husband was murdered on that day defending their small kibbutz. I met a woman whose husband was taken hostage in front of their child. And every day she goes out, every night she would go out with her child, still does. Every night goes out with her child and looks at the stars above, because hopefully daddy's looking at the same stars I'm looking at. You know, how do you talk to that woman? I've gone back and seen her again. I met another woman who was in charge of a whole community that was literally vacated from the south out of fear for going home. And she was in charge of a whole community setting now at a kibbutz in central Israel. So those new relationships have given me further perspective, further depth into this entire conversation. I can't fathom what they're going through, which is why it's almost a need. And I guess another answer to Mark's, to the question of whether everybody should see this. There is a certain side to this that is a keep your eyes open, right? Because this is not something that's simply in the past. The ongoing horror of these families living through the hostage ordeal daily. It's one of the things that was in the video is an image of Hirsch. And I'm just going to call him Hirsch because it's how you should order your coffees from now on. Hirsch's mother suggested that every time you're at a Starbucks, when they ask for your name, say Hirsch, so that his name would be called out and reminded. Hirsch was one of the images we saw. It was extremely powerful seeing him alive and seeing him with his stump arm, knowing that at one point he was alive, knowing at one point he was potentially going to be returned home and then was murdered. Those are the kind of things, again, I think there were certain sentences that were completed. So, and worse, as I'm going back and I'll be meeting these families yet again, who now a year later and beyond will have still not seen their family members.
I believe we heard from Hirsch's mom on the March for Israel, right? She spoke to the crowd there absolutely. In Washington. I remember that. Let's talk a little bit of politics here. So now what? I mean, now we have Hezbollah quickly attacked Israel shortly after October 7th just to get into the mix. But you have that raging conflict now in northern Israel with Lebanon. You have Iran, who's obviously had its fingerprints on all of this anyway, but now directly involved, as we saw, a week ago, missiles raining down. Fortunately, not terribly successful. In fact, wildly unsuccessful. But now what, and what are some of the politics playing out? Because every time we talk, I always bring up for folks who maybe don't have relationships with as many Jews that I do or have these conversations, to view Jews as a monolith politically would be like to look at us in America and say, well, everyone's in support of the president, right? Right. So what's happening in Israel politically is still a great cause for debate within the community.
No question that what was happening on October 6th was one of the great divides in Israel's history. Vinny, I was in here talking with you, talking with the community about what was happening over the fight for the Supreme Court in Israel. This is the footprints of democracy look very similar from place to place. And there's a lot of people that are challenged with, well, how can you support Israel right now? Right. This is often what leaders in Jewish community, Moshe and I will face often is, I don't know if I align with you because you support Israel. And the answer is, I support the United States no matter who's the president and no matter whether I happen to like the infringements of civil rights or the enormous poverty divide that exists here in our own city in Milwaukee. Fight to try and fix it. Don't give up on it. I know that people might think that that's minimizing it. It's not. The politics of it. And the war in this case is different. At the end of the day, I think what's happening is anti-Israel or anti-Zionist sentiments have become anti-Semitism. When you have a candidate that's running for the president of the United States and has preset that if he loses, it will be the Jews' fault, that putting us all together into one group that is fueling a hate fire that has crossed over. It's crossed over into not acceptable. Doesn't matter which candidate.
I want to add another layer to it. I think that there's a side to it that is we've become ridiculously binary in so much of what we do. You're either for or you're against. You're pro this, you're pro that. Anti this, anti that. And that's not the case here. This is a far from binary issue. It was complicated pre-October 7th. It's only that much more complicated now.
And for several thousand years before that, right?
Yeah. The part that's curious is there are very simple solutions that need to be had. You have to remove some evil, has to be removed from the equation. And this kind of evil has to be removed from the conversation. You cannot have a conversation about what you'll do next when, in fact, the enemy is as gross as what we've seen in this movie. What the movie did was solidify any doubt that I had about just how barbaric our world has become. You thought these things were over, right? The Game of Thrones is something from the hell of death, whatever that the wedding, blood redding, whatever it was called. That's what this was. This was a blood. It wasn't Game of Thrones. We saw it was literally something real. Something was right there. The decapitation with two witnesses. Two different individuals decapitated on a movie. And it's just that this wasn't something done by Spielberg. This wasn't something done in some sci-fi program. It was something done in real life in the 21st century. That's where the, I guess, binary comes in. Simply say that evil has to be removed from the conversation. And then we can start having a non-binary conversation about how complicated this really is.
Moshe Katz and Mark Shapiro, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your insights. I appreciate that you saw the film and you were willing to talk about that as well.
Thanks, Vince. Appreciate
it. Yom Kippur not far away, yes, so I hope it occurs under better circumstances. Maybe there's some growth between here and that date as well.
Yeah, you know, the truth is that's a day where each of us are supposed to look inside and figure out the things we've done wrong and seek forgiveness. Let's make it that maybe it's not just for the Jewish community, that we're all seeking, that each one of us has a way to be better.
Appreciate you both. 8:27 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News. Now, what do you think about that, Talkie? That's some heavy stuff here.
Well, you need that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a heavy topic.
I mentioned, and I'll again reiterate, that I was invited to have that opportunity to view that film, and I recognize that, in part, it was a selfish decision by me to psychologically shield myself from that, because once you see it, you can't unsee it, and so that's a choice that I made personally. I recognize that you and I, from a journalistic standpoint, have a duty to get into some bad stuff sometimes, whether it's a criminal complaint, whether it's a video that is controversial in some way that we're talking about in the news. Like, we do have to expose ourselves to those things so that we can comment on them, so that we can filter them to a degree and put them in a digestible form that's appropriate for this show. But that was, for me, and I'm somewhat apologetic over it, it was a bridge too far.
There's a difference between protecting your psyche and sticking your head in the sand. And I don't think that's what you were doing.
Yeah.
I don't think
you were. I appreciate that.
I don't think they're by not. I mean, what was the term we heard most used? Barbaric.
Yeah,
that was how Hamas acted. Barbaric. So, do you need to see that in order to believe it? Some maybe, others no.
I believe it based on the testimony we had here today. 8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Check. Intercepted. And a fifth straight game. McKinney has an interception again.
I'm telling you, we can't talk about it enough.
I'm a prognosticator.
Jim
Just call Mann, me Nostradamus.
CBS Sports on the call. Xavier McKinney for the Green Bay Packers, grabbing his fifth pick in as many games. Eric absurdly predicted that he would have 10 picks, to which I scoffed. You know how many picks that is?
And you could argue I'm more than halfway there because he also had a fumble recovery during the game.
No one is arguing that. Just you have your picks. Just be happy about it. You know what makes me really super happy, though?
What's that?
It's when just I'm out and someone's like, hey, you think McKinney's going to get one for Eric this week?
Right.
He's going to get one for Eric.
I'm starting to field calls from gamblers. Hey,
what do you think?
What do you think of the spread?
Hey, how about this guy over here? What do you see in him?
So what's your take on the game?
McKinney got his.
Okay.
That took a moment.
Right.
I didn't know that was going to happen. All right. What else would it be? One more win.
Big road win?
Big road win. All road wins are big. Even when you beat up on somebody. The Rams aren't very good, but they have a lot of talent. But it's a game you should win. Fans were loud. Nice job, Packers fans.
I don't think the Rams have fans, to be fair. Now, yes, the Packers always travel well.
There's a lot going on.
Packers fans travel extraordinarily well. They're everywhere. But I'm not sure if there are any actual real Rams fans, other than maybe some family.
Packers 24-19 winners over the Rams on Sunday. Next up, the Cardinals, whom I can't figure out. Like, they have some bad losses, and then they just beat the 49ers, who apparently are turning out to be not as good as predicted as well.
Something's going on there.
But it's early yet, but we're getting to the point where teams start to get their identity, and I'm not sure what to make of the Cardinals, but I'll be a little bit more sure after Sunday. 8:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Do you know that it's Cybersecurity Month?
I don't know, like every month, every minute
it really
is cybersecurity
should be,
month, right?
Joining us in studio on Wisconsin's Morning News is the CEO of SysLogic. It's Tina Chang, our friend who always is very good about, well, admittedly scaring us a little bit, but I think rightfully so in setting us in the right direction when it comes to protecting ourselves.
As we
go
along, happy-go-lucky in our lives, feeling safe and secure.
Hi, Tina.
Some of us have to worry about you.
Right. I don't know how you sleep at night.
All right. So you have a big summit taking place this week, right? On Friday.
We do. Thank you, first of all, for having me in for Cybersecurity Month. As you said, I wish every month was Cybersecurity Month. As we do every year, we have our Cybersecurity Summit being hosted once again at the Milwaukee School of Engineering this Friday, October 11th. It is free for students and very affordable at $50 for everybody else. All the proceeds go to a scholarship fund. And the whole point of this is to share best practices, share our stories, and educate. because we need to get ahead of these hackers.
So how are we doing with preparedness? As far as I know, most companies, if not all, I don't think everyone is, but they should be, have some type of preparedness where they're training their employees, they're telling them what to do, how to protect themselves from a cyber attack. Are we getting better at protecting ourselves and our corporations and our companies?
The great news is, over the last couple of years, this has become top of mind for corporations, large and small. So, from a preparedness perspective, absolutely. More are mindful about this, more are getting prepared. The problem is the rate of attack is going up. So, while we have better numbers in preparedness and people getting insurance and people having monitoring services, we're seeing a growing number of cybersecurity attacks and a growing impact of financial dollars to our global society. Globally, we are at $10.5 trillion. That is a T of impact and cost to our societies because of cybersecurity.
What specifically is bothering you this morning? What is happening right now that we should all be more aware of?
I think for me, you know, I follow cybersecurity very closely. FBI and other governmental bodies are consistently putting out warnings to us, but as citizens, we ignore them. So right. I don't know if anybody caught that in February, FBI said, hey, China's going to attack our infrastructure if we meddle in politics with them in Taiwan. I don't know if anybody saw that we confirmed that China had infiltrated Verizon, AT&T, and Lumen, our communications infrastructure. And that's scary stuff. And what we don't realize as individuals, it's not just those commercial entities that are at risk. We are leapfrogs in our own homes, in our own businesses to get through the network. And we play a part of needing to keep everybody safe that as individuals, I don't know if we take as seriously as we should.
Why does the FBI tell us these things? And I mean that seriously, Tina. Is that because we obviously need to be attention to what we're doing with our phone? Or is there some larger strategy there to make sure that the country is aware of what China may or may not be doing?
I think the FBI wants us to be prepared that this is real. So you can imagine, whether it be a cybersecurity attack or not, instances like CrowdStrike failures that took Delta down, or when AT&T had an IT blip that took us all down for part of the day, that scares us. And that's not good for just stability in a nation. So I think the FBI is saying, hey, some of these things are real in general, but also cybersecurity makes that even compounded of a problem that can affect you every day. 911 systems go down, that's not good for anybody. So I think part of it is trying to create some awareness, but it's also letting it out to the general public to help us realize that we all play a part of national security. You've had me on the show talking about how TikTok is not on my like list, and nobody should be using TikTok. It's Chinese owned. It can not only be used for surveillance and espionage, but also for potential sabotage and war planning. And how many individuals use TikTok every day?
What?
I don't have any TikTok. Looking at you over there, Toronto.
Yeah, but the music and the graphics. No, it's a fair point. I think about something you talked about, how does this affect us personally? And like, we had the outage at Ascension Hospitals. And so I know someone personally whose now late father, but, you know, his father was in care, and it really affected his father's end of life care, a surgery that had happened, when he could go home, all of these things. And that was one. Did we ever get to the bottom of that one?
You know,
and
it
dragged on, right?
Because
there was a long one.
It took a long time, and this was a great example of how organizations are dependent on each other as we've expanded our digital footprint. And what that means is, gosh, one poor person that maybe clicked on the wrong link caused this entire trickle effect through the entire system, because all of a sudden, if Ascension was at risk, their key providers like Epic, that provides the electronic health record where the doctors get all
everyone.
Of our
information,
for everyone, they didn't want to be infected. So they shut things down. So you can imagine they're not going to turn access back on to patient medical records until Ascension could be absolutely sure that it was, quote, clean. And that takes a while.
Tina Chang joins us from SysLogic. Your cybersecurity summit is Friday at MSOE. So for artificial intelligence, one of the things that I always think about is when you watch like an old movie from 30 years ago, the computer graphics aren't as good, right? The Pixar movie from 2002 isn't as good as the one that just came out. Like, they just get better and better. Is that how AI is going to be, where it gets better and better to a point where we won't be able to tell the difference between what is created and what is real?
So great AI is dependent on great data of all kinds, whether it be pixels or actual data. And as our sharing of data, collection of data, and use of that data gets better, the AI will continue to get better because we're training it to get better.
Yeah.
So it will absolutely continue to evolve in a positive way. Now, positive for our functional use, I think even using AI for helping our cybersecurity efforts is happening right now. But with AI and us, again, increasing our digital touch points, connecting more things in order to get that data, we are making ourselves more vulnerable. So when we think about the number of attacks that are happening, it's increasing because more of us are using electronics, more of us are connecting devices, and more organizations are connecting systems and everything from manufacturing machines and sensors to core systems that put us at risk.
Do you use Wi-Fi at home?
Of course.
Okay, wasn't sure. Okay.
Just that's okay?
Right. It's not your fridge, though.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I don't have my Wi-Fi connected to other Wi-Fi devices. So the people that connect their smart refrigerator by not recognizing that that refrigerator may be safe or not being great with all the software updates, those are vulnerabilities into your home network.
Having Tina in is like when we bring a doctor in and talk about diet, right? Yeah, you really shouldn't be eating this. Well, you really should be exercising more. No, I know.
More
lentil beans. I'm sorry. No, don't apologize. SysLogic CEO Tina Cheng joining us in studio. So the Cybersecurity Summit is Friday. What's the website for that?
It is www.mkecybersummit.com. Again, we are focused on education, so people at all levels, you are welcome. This year, we also have a business track and a technical track. So some of those people that are really techie and really want to get in and touch some hardware, we have a hardware hacking village. And then those that are just trying to understand priorities from an organizational level, why we should care, we've got a great business track for you.
SysLogic CEO Tina Cheng, thank you.
Thank you.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Inviting you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. Only takes you about 10 minutes to do it. Text the word survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. We send you the survey link. You fill it out. We say thank you by entering you into a contest for a package that includes two regular season game tickets for your Milwaukee Bucks for the upcoming season and an overnight stay at the Pfister. As for your storm team forecast for today, brought to you by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Not a drop of rain in the five-day forecast from Brendan Johnson over Channel 4.
The sun.
Not a drop, not a chance, not a trace, not a whatever.
Nothing. No precip.
No mention. Today, mostly sunny, high 65. Sunshine in mid-60s Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And looks like we're headed for a warm-up in this coming weekend. Friday, up to 78 degrees for your high temp under mostly sunny skies. Great to be with you on this Monday. WTMJ Political Power Hour is up next.